What if the feeling that the world is constantly on the edge of collapsing, isn't a sign that the system is broken, but a sign that the system is working as intended?
Oh, wow. Yeah, that is quite the way to open.
I mean, think about that for a second. We are constantly bracing for an impact that never quite seems to arrive, yet everything feels incredibly strained.
Right. It's this permanent tension.
Exactly. Welcome, truth seekers, to this deep dive. On behalf of the Great Awakening Report, this is the Weekly Briefing Subscribers Q&A for the week of June 5th. Today, we are tearing into the underlying architecture of that exact feeling.
And we are operating entirely outside the mainstream media narratives today.
We really are.
The goal here is to look at the source material that tackles these complex, interconnected anomalies where straightforward answers are, frankly, much harder to find. We are aiming to provide conscious coherence and clarity for you by examining a rather profound briefing document. It's titled The Great Realignment.
Right, and the central thesis of this document is all about moving past the daily information overload.
Yeah, that's the core of it.
I want to quote the briefing directly here. It says, "In a world clouded by distraction and deception, true power lies in seeing the bigger picture."
That is a powerful framing.
It really is. So our mission today is to build that picture for you. We are going to trace a clear, logical path, starting from the macro-level breakdown of global systems, economies and conflicts and journey, all the way down to the deeply personal.
Right, focusing on biological and spiritual adaptation. But I should note up front that our objective here is to impartially examine the perspectives and frameworks presented in this briefing.
Absolutely. Yeah.
We are not here to endorse specific political viewpoints, but rather to unpack these ideas.
Yeah.
We want to understand how a growing segment of the population is interpreting global events and understand the mechanisms behind the claims.
Spot on. So let's start with the physical scaffolding of the world and the economy. This is question one from the subscribers.
Right. The managed decline.
Exactly. The briefing highlights a massive disconnect between official statements and lived reality. We have persistent inflation, shrinking purchasing power, households squeezed to the absolute limit.
Yeah, the pressure is immense.
Yet institutions constantly claim we are in a state of robust economic recovery. So the document suggests we are witnessing a controlled, managed decline rather than a sudden collapse.
Okay, let's unpack this, because I have a hard time buying that this is all perfectly managed.
How so?
Well, it feels less like a sudden car crash and more like a slow leaking tire where the driver just completely refuses to pull over. Are the institutions actually managing this decline, or are they just frantically applying duct tape to keep the system from a catastrophic shock?
What's fascinating here is the psychological toll of that exact dynamic. It certainly looks like panic on the micro level when, say, a specific regional bank fails overnight.
Right, we saw that last year.
We did. But the briefing argues that on the macro level, the overarching strategy has shifted to what they call prolonged constriction.
Prolonged constriction, yes. You have to look at the psychological difference between an acute crash and a slow decline. When a financial system collapses overnight, the population reacts immediately.
Because everyone feels the pain at the exact same moment.
Exactly. There is a clear line in the sand, anger focuses on a specific target, and you get immediate demands for systemic change. But a slow leaking tire operates completely differently.
People just slowly adapt to higher costs.
They do. They adapt to constant low-grade uncertainty. It exhausts the population individually rather than uniting them collectively.
Oh, wow. That makes so much sense. It drains their energy.
That is the core mechanism the briefing describes. Modern interconnected systems are incredibly fragile. An uncontrolled sudden collapse would be universally disastrous for the people running those systems.
Right. So continuous instability is the new normal.
Precisely. Interventions happen just enough to prevent a catastrophic shock, while the structural stress continues to build beneath the surface. It's a slow motion restructuring.
Which honestly sounds exhausting just to analyze.
It is.
And that feeling of pervasive stress bleeds directly into the geopolitical landscape. Which brings us to question two. The briefing points out that global conflict seems to be happening everywhere at once.
It really does feel that way.
Right. We aren't looking at one localized, defined war. We are looking at friction between NATO and Russia, massive disruptions in the Red Sea, cartel escalations, tension in the Strait of Hormuz. It feels incredibly chaotic.
It feels chaotic because the nature of the battlefield has fundamentally shifted. It's moved away from purely kinetic warfare, troops and tanks toward the weaponization of interconnected systems. The source refers to this as ambient conflict.
Ambient conflict. Let's break down the mechanics of that. What does ambient conflict actually look like in practice?
Well, it looks like the targeting of energy corridors, shipping lanes, financial rails, and digital networks.
So not just dropping bombs.
Exactly. If a faction wants to exert pressure on a rival nation today, they don't necessarily need to bomb a city. They just need to control a global choke point.
Like the Red Sea.
Yes. Take the Red Sea, for instance. If you can disrupt the flow of cargo ships through that specific corridor, global maritime insurance rates absolutely skyrocket.
Oh, and that cost gets passed down the supply chain.
Right, which directly increases the inflation rate in Western nations. You are inflicting economic damage without ever officially declaring war.
So the conflict is baked directly into the infrastructure. It's not an isolated event happening over there somewhere. It's actively shaping the price of goods in our local stores.
That overlap is crucial. Economic stress, geopolitical friction, and infrastructure fragility are continuously reinforcing each other.
It's like a feedback loop.
It is. This creates a permanent state of global tension that never clearly begins or ends. It just hums in the background, keeping the global population in a state of low-level anxiety.
So if the macro system is in this state of slow-motion decline and ambient conflict, then the institutions running that system have an enormous problem on their hands, right?
Oh, absolutely. Managing public perception.
Exactly. Which brings us perfectly to question three. The briefing notes a simultaneous massive collapse of institutional trust across governments, legacy media, healthcare, science, all of it.
And frankly, you can see why.
You really can. When the official narrative says the economy is thriving, but your lived experience is struggling to afford basic groceries, trust evaporates.
It's a huge cognitive dissonance for people.
Right. But I want to ask, is this mass decentralization of information a symptom of the breakdown or the cure?
The briefing actually frames it not as a societal failure, but as an evolutionary step. The term the document uses is a transition from centralized consensus toward decentralized perception.
Centralized consensus, meaning the old way of doing things.
Right. For decades, a few major broadcast networks and papers delivered the news, and society generally agreed on the basic facts of reality.
But as those centralized narratives consistently clash with what people are actually experiencing, they don't just stop paying attention.
No, they actively hunt for alternative explanations. They build their own individualized information ecosystems.
Which the legacy media just calls misinformation.
Often, yes.
Yeah.
But according to the framework in this report, this fragmentation of trust isn't a malicious failing of the public. It is an active search for transparency.
People are just demanding alignment with reality.
Exactly. Independent interpretation and verifiable data are replacing passive, blind trust in authority.
But those legacy institutions aren't just going to quietly surrender their influence, right?
Well,
if trust is gone, they need a different mechanism to maintain order.
And that leads us right into the digital control systems.
Yes. Question four. The tangible reality of central bank digital currencies, or CBDCs, digital IDs, and the broader access economy.
This is a critical pivot in the document.
Here's where it gets really interesting. A lot of people hear digital currency and think, well, I already use Apple Pay or Venmo. My money is already digital.
Right. They don't see the threat.
Exactly. So what is the actual mechanical difference that makes a CBDC a tool for a permission-based society?
A standard digital bank transfer is just a digital representation of traditional fiat currency. A CBDC is entirely different because it is programmable money.
Programmable?
Yes. The central bank or governing authority can literally encode rules and conditions directly into the currency itself.
Wait, meaning they dictate how and when it can be used?
Yes. For example, they could program the currency with an expiration date to force economic stimulus. Like, if you don't spend it in 30 days, it vanishes.
Oh, wow. That is terrifying.
Or they could use geofencing, meaning the funds can only be spent within a 5-mile radius of your registered address.
So she can't travel.
Right. Or if it's integrated with a digital ID that tracks your carbon footprint, your ability to purchase specific items, like meat or airline tickets, could be algorithmically restricted once you hit a certain quota.
We went from renting movies to renting software, and now the briefing is suggesting we are moving toward renting our entire existence.
That's a great way to put it.
You don't own your underlying assets or your freedom of movement. You merely have temporary access to them, mediated through a centralized digital gateway. How do we square "you will own nothing and be happy" with the massive push we are seeing toward homesteading and off-grid living?
Well, the document characterizes those movements, the homesteading, the local food sourcing, as a direct strategic pushback against that AI-filtered gateway.
So it's not just a quaint, nostalgic return to nature.
Not at all. It's a battle between dependency and sovereignty. Individuals and communities are actively trying to sever their dependency on centralized systems before those programmable grids become completely inescapable.
Securing your own water supply, building alternative finance.
Yes, they're viewed as tactical necessities.
Okay, so the physical infrastructure is locking down and the digital financial grids are tightening. But at the exact same time, our fundamental understanding of reality is being cracked wide open.
The unseen battlegrounds.
Yes, moving to question five. The briefing pivots heavily into the acceleration of disclosure around UAP's unidentified anomalous phenomena.
This is a really fascinating section of the report.
We are seeing military acknowledgments, declassified footage, and congressional hearings happening right in the middle of all this global instability. I have to ask, is this psychological acclimatization, like slowly drip-feeding us paradigm-shifting ideas so we don't panic? Or is this the ultimate distraction from the failing economic systems we just talked about?
This raises an important question, and the alternative analysis provided in the briefing heavily favors the concept of psychological acclimatization. But it ties it directly to the institutional collapse we've been discussing.
So they are connected.
Highly connected. The normalization of UAPs isn't happening in a vacuum. The subscribers noting the timing are pointing to a fascinating correlation. The old centralized sisters of authority relied on being the ultimate arbiters of truth.
And technological supremacy.
Exactly. As those systems weaken, and as human perception decentralizes, the boundaries of reality are naturally expanding.
The old story is crumbling, so a new, much larger story is being introduced.
Precisely. The briefing suggests that institutional collapse and UAP disclosure are deeply interconnected. The profound reality-altering concepts are being incrementally introduced because the rigid structures that previously kept them hidden are losing their structural integrity.
Wow. It shifts our perception of not just the skies, but it forces us to look closer to home. Which brings us to question six.
The great poisoning.
Yes. Is human health being quietly degraded by modern industrial systems? The briefing links chronic illness, fatigue, and hormonal imbalances directly to this, but let's dig into the how. How is human health viewed as a systemic control mechanism within this framework?
The briefing aggregates processed foods, pesticides, pharmaceuticals, and environmental toxins into one large systemic issue.
A cocktail of toxins, basically.
Exactly. And to understand the mechanism, you have to look at how these elements interact with human biology, specifically the microbiome and the nervous system.
The gut-brain connection.
Essentially, yes. When a population consumes highly processed foods laden with synthetic additives, it disrupts the endocrine system and creates chronic low-grade inflammation.
And that inflammation affects the brain.
It directly impacts neurological function, leading to brain fog, pervasive fatigue, and a weakened stress response.
And a neurologically exhausted population is far easier to manage.
That is the core argument. If you are constantly battling chronic fatigue, you simply do not have the surplus energy required to build parallel agricultural systems or research alternative finance.
You are just trapped in a survival loop.
Right. Therefore, the briefing advocates, you know, detoxing, sourcing local organic food, utilizing regenerative agriculture, it is elevated far beyond a mere lifestyle choice.
It becomes an act of defiance.
It is an assertion of biological sovereignty. Taking aggressive control of your physical health to maintain mental clarity is viewed as a fundamental prerequisite for navigating this societal transition.
Because you cannot maintain independence if you are biologically dependent on the medical system.
And too exhausted to think critically.
Exactly. This is so heavy, but it makes so much sense. If the external world is under relentless pressure, your purchasing power, your digital rights, your physical health, your understanding of reality, the only place left to find solid ground is within yourself.
Which leads us to the final point in the briefing.
Yes. Question seven. Is spiritual awakening an adaptive response to systemic breakdown? So what does this all mean? Spirituality used to be treated as a luxury, like philosophical window dressing.
Something you do when everything else is fine.
Exactly. But now, reading this, it sounds like emotional body armor. It's practical survival.
The briefing completely frames it as a highly practical necessity. As external certainty evaporates, people are being forced inward. But this isn't about adopting a new abstract religious dogma.
Right. It's not about escaping reality.
No. We are talking about the mechanical regulation of the human nervous system.
Walk us through that. How does nervous system regulation act as a defense mechanism?
Well, the modern information landscape, combined with the ambient conflict we discussed earlier, is algorithmically engineered to trigger the sympathetic nervous system.
It keeps the population in a constant state of fight or flight.
Precisely. And when you are in that state, you are highly suggestible, reactive, and driven by fear.
You can't think clearly.
Right. The ability to internally ground yourself, to practice emotional coherence, and to step into the observer position neutralizes that mechanism.
You stop reacting to the slow leaking tire and the daily fear-based headlines.
You observe the chaos without absorbing the panic. Spiritual adaptation, in this context, is the tool for maintaining sanity and critical thinking when the centralized systems around you are failing.
It is the ultimate form of sovereignty.
Because your internal state is the one territory that external systems cannot control unless you give them permission.
Man, that is powerful. If we pull all the way back and look at the grand synthesis of this entire briefing, two massive macro tensions emerge.
If we connect this to the bigger picture.
Yes, the first is centralization versus sovereignty. In every single sector, food production, digital access, financial transactions, human health, we see centralized institutions attempting to tighten their management over a declining system.
While simultaneously, we see individuals and communities aggressively pushing back,
demanding local solutions and total independence.
And the second tension is the adaptation to accelerating change.
Right, because the external world is recalibrating rapidly. Trust in legacy institutions is gone. Markets are stressed.
The defining challenge of this era, according to the source material, is no longer just figuring out what is happening behind the curtain. It is actively developing the physical, emotional, and spiritual resilience to remain grounded.
The connecting thread is transition.
The final pattern is transformation.
As we wrap up this Q&A, we want to remind all you truth seekers out there that the goal of reviewing these incredibly complex topics is never to spread fear.
Never.
It is never to make you feel helpless or dependent. The goal is to empower your conscious observation and to sharpen your critical thinking.
I want to address you directly for a moment, reflecting the final message of this briefing. The external world is going to keep accelerating. The narratives will shift. The digital grids will attempt to expand.
That's inevitable.
But your internal state is what truly matters most. How you regulate your own energy, how you manage your fear in the face of manufactured uncertainty, those daily choices shape your actual reality far more than any distant geopolitical headline ever will.
We started this conversation by talking about a slow, managed decline, a world constantly bracing for an impact. I want to leave you with one final thought to ponder, something for you to explore on your own.
What is it?
If all of this external chaos, the collapsing purchasing power, the ambient wars, the programmable control grids, is actually the intense necessary pressure required to force humanity to turn inward, could it be that the collapse of the old world is exactly what humanity needed to finally wake up?
That is a profound question to end on.
Think about that as you navigate your week. Stay awake, keep connecting the dots, and thank you for joining us on this deep dive.